Welcome back to a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm John, your host. We're 5 weeks into this season and things are heating up. We've got recaps, we've got trade talk, we've got predictions, we've got a little bit of everything. And this week we've got the owner of one of the most surprising teams of the year, at least to me. I was a doubter coming into the season, but he walked into that draft, whipped out his big Italian sausage and said, "Fuck those keepers, I'll beat you sons of bitches without them." That's right, we got the owner of the Cincinnati Soup Cans, Matt Diddy Dirty Money. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having for me. Long-time fan, first-time caller. Excited to be here.
Happy to have you on. How's everything going? Give us a life update.
Got a few announcements. Obviously had a son. So the dynasty of the soup cans, once I'm long gone, he'll be sitting behind the desk of the franchise. So happy to report that.
There we go.
Another big announcement. I'm not sure who I've told. I know I've talked to a couple of other people, but given the frenzy that was my life previously, I had not kind of bought into the idea of attending the SRK this year. Looks like I'm actually going to be attending. So
I didn't want to
announce that publicly.
Oh, my God. Breaking news. This is awesome, man. Oh, my God.
Man,
I'm so
excited. Yeah, very, very pumped up.
Oh, sweet. Man, this is going to be easy now. I was nervous for the rest of the show, but this is the best news I've heard all day. This is awesome, man. Sweet. All right, cool. Well, with that out of the way, let's go ahead and get right into it. First of all, we had a couple of big trades last week, both with Randy's team. So Randy first traded his 2023 round two pick and 2024 round one pick. That guy, he's unbelievable. To Eric for a loaner deal for Dalvin Cook. So he gets Dalvin Cook for the remainder of the season and then sends it back to Eric along with two draft picks over the next 2 years, which is, man, I respect the hell out of it, but the way he wheels and deals is incredible.
I'll tell you, if we forbade him from giving up picks in the future, he'd start trading teeth and favors. Say he'll stop at nothing.
He really will. He'd lower himself pretty low, I think, to get another championship. But and also in the trade, which I thought was pretty interesting, he could have given Eric anyone, but he chose to give him Melvin Gordon for the roster spot, who had just become the starting running back in Denver. And who outscored Randy's two other running backs this past week? So, I'm not quite sure about that part of the trade, but you know, Dalvin Cook got like 24 points or something, so it's worked out so far.
Might be an unorthodox method, but at 3-1-1, I don't think we can fault him right now. He's sitting nicely in the middle of the pack, and I mean, he's always optimistic about his team, even when the rest of us aren't.
Absolutely, yeah. Can't blame him for that move so far. And then also minutes later, I think, maybe an hour later, he traded his, I think it was his top running back at the time, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, to the technical fouls for tight end Mark Andrews. And perhaps a strategic high sell because Clyde only had 4.5 points this past week. And I've mentioned this before. The podcast I listened to has been suggesting that his numbers are going to come down. So it's only 1 week, but we'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah, best of luck to him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get into the games last week. We'll start off with for Power and Vitality versus the Soup Cans. Obviously, it's disappointing losing to a team like Power and Vitality who hadn't had a win yet and also just traded away one of their key pieces, but it's fantasy football and absolutely anything could happen. So these things will happen. But Diddy, tell us about your game last week.
Yeah, I think I've got good players on the roster. I think sometimes there's just going to be incidents where you don't put the right starting group on the field and you have some points on the bench. And, you know, transparently, I've been riding on the coattails of Lamar Jackson for a while this season. And when you become dependent on a guy who's literally setting fantasy records at times, you know, you're going to be set up for disappointment. I think that's what happened this week. Was projected to win, was pretty confident about it, had a couple of wide receivers, I think, in the lower scoring point ranges. And, Eric Altman comes through with his first win. It's never nice to be someone's only win on the board, but that's the way it shook out.
Yeah, and he had a hell of a performance out of a few guys. Leonard Fournette getting 30, Hollywood Brown getting 17. And I think the big surprise one was the Dallas defense getting 22. That's, you know, if they had just scored like even like on the high end for defenses, like 11 or something, you would have squeaked out the win, I think. But
it's funny, you line them up side by side. My defense still had 15 points, but, you know, mm-hmm. Fournette and Chubb kind of going head to head there. What really, really hurt me is T. Higgins coming up with a big fat zero on the board. I'll tell you what, especially when you have Tyler Lockett on the bench who's been performing the last two or three games.
Yeah. Do you know, did T. Higgins get hurt or something in the game?
Was not able to actually watch that game, okay. But obviously minimal targets and nothing posted on the board.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but, you know, these things happen. Still towards the top of the leaderboard, so keep that head up. All right, and then next up we'll go through the games pretty quickly. Denny Irvine's Gatorade getting the win over my Iron City Olifants. I'll do a little bad news sandwich here. So the Fonts are still the highest scoring team in the league, and then the bad news is that we're also the most scored against team in the league by a margin of 75 points. But then the other good piece of news is that the Olifants have the highest points scored against them, so it gives me something to complain about every time I lose. So, you know, kind of a good news, bad news there. I'd rather just get the wins, but, you know, at least we're still producing. Denny Irvine just came to play. 71 points out of Derrick Henry, Devontae Adams, and Travis Kelce. That's always going to give you a pretty solid chance. And then he also got 18 points out of someone named Ramondre Stevenson with the Patriots running back. Never heard of that bitch in my entire life, but
no.
got 18 points, which I didn't think was possible for a Patriots running back, but oh well, what can you do? That's all right. One of those weeks. Still a solid performance for my Fonts, getting 113, I think, or 119.
119, yep.
And 149, unfortunately, for me, out of Denny Irvine's Gatorade.
Yeah, that is massive offensive production. It's going to be hard to beat down any good week for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those kind of boom weeks are going to happen for every team in the league. It's you just hope it's not against you, but sometimes it is. And then next up, the technical fouls lost to the One-Faced Wonders in a close one, but a low-scoring match. Pretty big concern for the technical fouls if Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't pick it up. Like I said before, it's just one game, but sending away Mark Andrews, who's, I think, got to be at least top three tight end so far this mm-hmm. year. That could be scary if Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't keep up that high production value.
Yeah, and I'd say, you know, the technical fouls, taking a look at their bench, a lot of points on the bench. A lot of points left on the bench.
Yeah, it could be, some GM fixes, some getting the right guys in there going forward. Because it was a close one and a pretty low-scoring game, so hopefully for the Techs, they'll be able to figure out who to start next time. Unfortunately, they're, once again, just like last year, at the bottom of the barrel in scoring. Only 489.5 points so far this year, and that's a decent bit in eighth place. So, but you know, they've had a couple bad weeks in a row, so they're looking to turn it around. And then on the other side of the football, the Wonders have got to be thrilled to pull a win out of their ass, because that was, man, I was looking at the scoreboard and I thought I was gonna get all of my picks wrong, and then I went to bed Monday night and woke up and Josh Jacobs scored 1,000 points and got the One-Faced Wonders the victory. And it's to on the outside looking in, you're like, oh man, he's got to be concerned about that. But I don't know, anytime I pull out a shitty win like that, it's a great feeling. A win's a win, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, those are big points from his top three.
Yeah. I think the biggest concern, or the biggest disappointment I should say, for the Wonders so far has been Aaron Jones. He had his one 30-point game in week two, but beyond that, I looked it up, he's averaged only 7.9 points per game beyond that one 30-point game. So it's not great, but, you know, pulled out the win, 4-1. I think he's in the top of the standings, so can't be too upset about that. And then Real Americans versus the Running Fools. Oh man, I'm starting to wonder if it's the curse of the pod, because I don't think anyone has been on the pod and then won their previous game, and Brian was no different. Just like Chez the week before promised the largest victory against anyone, and once again, the person who made the promise got blown the fuck out, and Brian kind of got blown out in that game. The Real Americans were carried by Josh Allen and Gabe Davis, and Josh Allen's obviously incredible. He's having a hell of a year up there with Lamar Jackson, I'd say. Gabe Davis, a little more of a boomer bust kind of pick, but man, did he pop off on Sunday. Holy shit. Like, uh-huh. First play of the game. Did you watch the Steelers game? I hope not, but...
Unfortunately, I did.
Yeah. God, that was not pretty. But yeah, right off the bat, Gabe Davis with like a 98-yard touchdown. That probably gave the Americans the confidence to keep moving forward. We already talked about the trades that Randy's made, and those did have an impact on the game, because without those two guys, the Real Americans would have lost the game, even with their previous guys who they would have had in there instead. So, you know, he pulled out the trades when he needed to, and the Fools are now tied at the bottom of the barrel after their four-game losing streak, and the Americans bounce back after going 0-1-1 in their previous two games to cling on to their first place tie in the East. So that's where things are right now. But let's get back into your team a little bit, because I will admit I was the first I'll be the first to admit that I was wrong about the soup cans this year. I thought not having any keepers was going to absolutely cripple you, but it hasn't so far. So what were you thinking going into the draft? What were your goals?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's the same reason why a lot of people pay other people to handle their money, right? Taking a look at the numbers and the statistics for these players, I follow what's on the boards. I don't go with my gut. I don't ever have a special feeling about a player except for Lamar Jackson. He's the only person that I really have a soft spot for. But I look at the numbers, and taking a look at those in order of where I draft, I think has been beneficial in every league I've played in so far. So, you're guaranteed to be in the middle of the pack with that strategy, and you know, made the playoffs the majority of times I've been in, so I'm going to continue with that strategy.
Yeah, and your team hasn't made many waiver wire or trades so far this year. Is that due to you just having too much actual responsibility to care about this silly game, or are you mostly just happy with the guys that you have?
Yeah, you know what? I'm largely inactive in the trading realm. A lot of people would say that's probably a shortcoming of the way that I manage my team, but I don't see it that way. I go in, I'm confident in the draft, and my goal is always to be middle of the pack and trending up as far as the projections for the end of the season go, and it's playing out just like that. So, yeah, things continue. I think it's just more about me putting the right players on the field at the right week, as opposed to me making trades to get people, you know, in positions that I lack. I think I got a pretty solid roster.
Right. Have you been approached at all about any trades?
No, I think people expect me not to trade. But make me an offer. Make me an offer, Randy. Give me a couple draft picks.
Oh man. I can only imagine what he's gonna do with that. And if your fantasy persona was an NFL figure, who or what would you be?
Jeez. And I got this question ahead of time. I thought about it a little bit. Yeah. Honestly, if I had to compare it to one thing going on in the NFL right now, my persona, I would be Gisele Bündchen. I think, you know, I went into this week thinking, hey, I got a great quarterback by my side. Everything's going to be great. And at the end of the week, my life's in shambles. So, yeah, I'm Gisele Bündchen currently.
All right, there we go. I like it. All right, let's move on to the next segment. I'm calling this segment League Pulse because we're just going to kind of talk about what's going on throughout the league. So first, I'll go through the current standings. At the top spot, the One-Faced Wonders, 4-1, and then tied for second, although for some reason Denny Irvine has the tiebreaker. So Denny Irvine's Gatorade in second, Real Americans in third, both 3-1-1. Then the Cincinnati Soup Cans, 3-3-2. Is that right?
Yep.
3-2. Iron City Oliphants, 2-3. Technical fouls. I didn't write down the record, so I'm starting to forget. I don't know who the technical fouls are. And then Running Cool, 7-1-4. And for Power and Vitality, also 1-4 after getting their first win of the season. And then also just a public service announcement. 2 more weeks until the trade deadline. So the deadline's Wednesday, October 26th at noon. So get your draft picks over to Didiana soon, Randy, or you're going to run out of time. All right, so let's talk about the current state of the league. So which of the current playoff teams would you least want to trade places with? So if you could swap your whole teams, which of the four, One Face Wonders, Denny Irvine's Gatorade, or Real Americans, would you least want to trade places with?
I think I would least want to trade places with the Real Americans. The Real American, he's got nothing to do but go down from where he was last year, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's expected to perform. I wouldn't want to be in that position. I think he's feeling the heat given his trade activity. So, yeah, it's not a position I'd want to be in, even though it seems like he's coming out ahead. It's like the 2-goal lead in hockey, right? Worst position to be in.
Okay.
Unless that's a 3-goal league.
Yeah.
I messed that up.
Whatever it is. Yeah, that's an interesting point because, yeah, I think he's been looking at himself, or he's been portraying himself as the underdog all year. But in the standings, I mean, we're 5 games in. This isn't a new season anymore. We're in the thick of it. And he's still towards the top, so yeah, that's a good one. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I'd say that. And honestly, his points for and points allowed are almost 1-1. I mean, mm-hmm. that's one player having a few plays that you know, where they come up short or they don't make it happen, and you know he's losing games, right? I think this season could very quickly go the other way on him.
Yeah, he's had some close ones for sure. He's lucky to be at 3-1-1, but maybe after these couple of trades, he'll start to pull away from teams a little bit more. The only thing I'd say about that one is the One-Faced Wonders, who are, again, in first place, they have the lowest points for of the top 5 teams. So you have to get all the way down to the 6th place technical fouls before you find a team that has more points for. So possibly a bit of a concern there for David, but can't argue with 4-1. So Good on him. And then next, which of the current bubble teams or teams not in the playoffs do you think is most likely to squeak into the playoffs?
You know what? I don't know about their chances to make the playoffs. Obviously, it's a rough start to the season, but a normally productive for Power and Vitality. The results are surprising me this year. But that said, I think the Oliphants, I mean, they're going to be right up there. I got faith in you, John.
Man, I'm trying as hard as I can. Can't quite seem to get the right matchups. But, yeah, I was also pretty surprised at for Power and Vitality start this year. Yeah, I don't have their lineup right in front of me. But it was I don't know. I thought they'd be better. And they have had some solid performances. Some close games, but again, the points for is just a little bit lower than he's hoping. But I mean, pulled one out last week. So I texted him today asking him if he was planning on starting to tank yet, and he said not yet. So he's still in the fight. Don't give up on for Power and Vitality just yet. And then, which team has been the biggest disappointment so far this year?
Got to be again for Power and Vitality for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, lower, I guess, in respect to other teams on the points allowed, but I mean, no offensive production. I don't know if he's forgetting to set his lineup or what. But yeah, just again, surprising results. One thing I will say, and God love him, hard to say anything bad about him because he's such a great guy, but I'm finally glad that the drafting 16 running backs, Brian Flaherty strategy has yielded what everyone thinks it would every season. I don't know how he gets away with the results that he has with his drafts.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think for both of those teams, actually, I think it's been a running back problem, ironically, for the Running Fools. I think I talk about this every week, but for Power and Vitality, especially, Jonathan Taylor just has not been what he was last year. And I don't know if it's just the team is bad or if he's hurt or something. I'm not quite sure what's going on with him, but yeah, he's not been great at all. So,
Can't be a star every year.
yep, that's the truth. And I think it especially hurts having, I think the Colts in general are just terrible this year, so that's unfortunate. And then, oh, this one's kind of the same. I don't know why I put this one. Which one of the four teams do you think has the best shot of turning the train around?
You know what? I'm gonna put in, and here's the thing. I don't think the old fans need to turn things around per se, right? So that kind of excludes you from this statement, because I think you're just a few small changes in big games away from being on the board again. But the technical fouls, I think that just looking at the numbers, it's going to go against my opinion here. But I have faith in Matt Chess, right? Who doesn't?
Sure.
Anyone who knows him has faith in Matt Chess. And I think if anybody can turn this around as a manager, it's going to be him.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a great choice. Looking at his team now, I mean, if, again, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire can turn it on again, he's got a pretty solid lineup there. So, any given week, we'll see what happens. Who's he got coming up this next week? He's got Brian, so maybe take advantage of the sliding Running Fools, but we'll see.
Is Brian really on a 4-game losing streak?
Yeah, he kicked ass.
Oh my God.
He kicked ass week one. He beat me 140 to 113 or something like that, and has lost every game since then. So,
My goodness.
yeah, it's not been pretty, but
Prayers for you, Brian.
yeah, prayers up. All right, let's move on to some predictions. So, I think I said last week I'd been 1-3 on every week leading up to week four when I got all four games right. But you can rest assured I'm back on my 1-3 shit once again, going 1-3 only after a miraculous comeback by the Wonders. Brian did pretty well. He went 2-for-2, and or 2-2, and it ties the best guest record so far. Eric also went 2-2. And let's see, I'm 8-11-1 on the year, so still not too bad, but it's been harder than I thought it would be to make these predictions, I gotta tell you. And I'll add the stipulation also, give us a little bit of a cop out that last week, before Brian and I made our predictions, or the trades for the Real Americans came after Brian and I made our predictions. So those did end up making a difference, although to be fair, I'm still not sure if we would have made different picks regardless of those trades. So, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll try to do better moving forward here. All right, first up, we'll go with the One Face Wonders versus For Power and Vitality. I'll kick us off here. So the Wonders have Josh Jacobs on a bye this week, and he's been one of their breakout stars so far. So that could be rough for them. We'll see if they end up going to the waiver wire to pick anyone up. But David's also in London or France or something, so may not be paying quite as much attention this week. So that could help Eric out. J.K. Dobbins was in his lineup, I believe, last week, but wasn't able to string together a second solid start yet, but maybe this is the week where he starts turning it on more consistently. I was pretty uninspired by the Wonders' win last week, though, and with Breece Hall starting to turn it around for Power and Vitality, and Leonard Fournette still being Leonard Fournette, it could definitely be a close one. And I do question if Dave's heart is going to be in it this week. But despite that, and despite Power and Vitality kind of being on the verge of getting ready to tank, I think I'm going to take the Wonders in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. And a little bit biased, I got nothing but ill will for Power and Vitality based on last week's game. But I can't argue with the records here. I don't think Leonard Fournette, I think he's due for a bust week. And I think just as it's projected, right, David and Eric have similar numbers. I still got to go with my gut and say it's probably David this week.
All right, right on. Are you thinking Leonard Fournette's going to run into the steel curtain? Is that why you're worried about him?
That's my hope. I'd say that the records don't point in that direction, but maybe they'll surprise us this week.
Yeah, I would love for them to turn around and beat the snot out of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be cool. All right, and next up we have my Iron City Oliphants versus the Real Americans. I'm going to start off by saying how proud I am of the Fonts so far this year. They've been putting up numbers week in and week out, even though the record doesn't reflect it. Just had a couple unlucky bounces, but that's the way she goes. But this week, the Lions are on a bye, and that takes away two of my star players. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge to fill those holes. And then on the other side of the ball, the Real Americans have a new look so far, or have a new look for the year. They added Dalvin Cook, and he had his best week yet last week with the Americans. And Mark Andrews also having a quietly amazing season. I got to be honest, until that trade went down, I was not paying much attention to Mark Andrews, but he's been almost on Travis Kelce levels. And for those reasons, it might be surprising, but I'm going with the Real Americans.
You know, before I just learned that you have a couple of players on bye this week, I thought, you know, what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? And I was pushing for you to actually have the upset this week, but upon learning about some of those trades and also hearing about your bye weeks, I have to go with you as well.
All right.
I'm going to say American.
Taking the Real Americans. I understand. All right. And then next up, we have the Running Fools versus the Technical Fouls.
Technical Foul.
I'll kick us off again. So ESPN is giving the Fools a 5.5-point advantage, but I think this is going to be a tough one because both these teams are kind of battling to stay alive in the league a little bit. Obviously, the Running Fools 1-4, and Technical Fouls 2-3. So pretty important matchup for them, for both teams. I think the Technical Fouls have some good matchups. They've got Brady playing in Pittsburgh, David Montgomery playing against Washington, and Stephon Diggs playing against Kansas City. That ought to be a high-scoring game. But I think the Fools have a little bit better of chance with their running backs finally popping off. So obviously McCaffrey has been having a heck of a year, and he's going up against the Rams of Los Angeles. Joe Mixon going up against New Orleans, who's not been very good against the run so far this year. And then on the receiving side, Justin Jefferson going up against Miami. And I think because of those matchups and the Technical Fouls performance the past couple of weeks being a little lackluster, we'll say, I'm taking the Running Fools to get their second win of the season.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I'd say in particular, look for a big game out of Joe Mixon. And for some reason, I feel like Justin Tucker is going to put 12 or 15 on the board. So I have to go with the Running Fools this week myself.
All right, there we go. Awesome. We are in lockstep so far, 3-for-3 together. So we'll boom or bust together. I hope we boom. And lastly, the matchup of the week, Denny Irvine's Gatorade,
want some more Gatorade
versus the Cincinnati Soup Cans. The Gatorade coming off a huge win, 149 points last week. The Soup Cans coming off a disappointing loss. Let's see, the Soup Cans the Soup Cans are getting the Gatorade on a favorable week because Devontae Adams and Derrick Henry are both out for their byes. While the connection between Burrow and Chase hasn't been quite what Tommy Boy was hoping it would be, they're going up against the Saints this week, who, again, haven't looked too good. Their defense has been pretty decent against the pass, though, So that may not end up helping the Gatorade. And then on the other side of the ball, the Soup Cans have the firepower in Lamar Jackson. And while New England has been solid against the run this year, Nick Chubb is indeed that guy. I think he's going to blow through him. And if T. Higgins is healthy and can play, I think the curse of the pod will end with the Soup Can star power taking advantage of a bye week riddled Gatorades, and I'm taking the Soup Cans.
Hey, you heard it here first, folks. It's soup season, right? That's the new thing that I've adopted. I feel it. I feel good about this season. I do want to return to a previous comment I made about making me an offer. Obviously, with Damian Pierce out this week, probably going to come up a little bit short in the run game, outside of Nick Chubb, obviously being the star that he is. So, somebody make me an offer. Make me an offer. I'm struggling there a little bit. But regardless, still have immense faith in not only the projected win this week for myself, but also at the end of the year, I think I'm going to be looking at a semifinal, possibly a championship slot. Calling it now.
Wow. Okay. All right. Do you want to call your shot on this game too? How many points do you think you're going to win by?
Taking a look at the offensive production that I've had, pretty high. I'm putting myself around the 114 to 119 range. I think I'm going to win by about, I'm going to go 4.5 points.
4.5 points. 1 point for every inch of his soup can. Trying to break the curse of the pod against Denny Irvine's Gatorade. I love to hear it, man. That sounds great. Awesome. All right. Well, I think that's all we got for you, Diddy. Is anything else you want to add?
No, it was an honor to be asked to be on the show, John. Looking forward to listening to the pod and future episodes.
All right. I appreciate it, buddy. You have a good night.
Hey, you too. Take care.
All right. See you, bud.
Go Soups.
And that's it. That's our show for the week. Best of luck to everyone this week, except Randy. This has been a super fantasy football show. I'll be back next week. And until then, I'll see you at Froggy's. Maybe Friday night. We got some friends coming in. Maybe Friday night. Let's hit up Froggy-oke. Let's do it. See you there. Have you or a loved one been a victim of a freezing cold take by one of your close friends on a super fantasy football show? Was your top fantasy star slandered in one of the episodes? Or maybe they attacked your team's chances on a given week? Perhaps they gave you a false hope about a player who turned out to be actual dog shit or cut entirely from the team? Or maybe someone just said something that was so stupidly wrong that they deserved to be embarrassed? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be entitled to emotional compensation in the form of public retaliation. If you remember hearing a take on a super fantasy football show that was so insanely wrong that it could only be described as freezing cold, then text John the title of the episode, a timestamp when the take happened, as well as a few sentences describing why the take is so freezing cold, and you may be able to get retribution in a future episode. Again, text John the title of the episode, a timestamp of when the take took place, and a brief description of why it is cold, and you may hear that frozen take in a future episode of a Super Fantasy Football Show.